perhaps a broader, more thorough background check being done by the City Portland Police Bureau than might be gleaned from third party, but I need to learn more about what third party background checks are all about. But I am happy to accept this report. Aye.
Novick?
I join my colleagues in saying that this is a proud night. I'm very proud to be a Portlander tonight. I'm proud of the work that the task force did and the PBOT staff did, and Brian Hockaday of my staff in particular. I'm very proud of my colleagues. I'm proud of Commissioner Fritz for continually pushing these insurance questions, and the fire commissioner for being concerned about fires, and Commissioner Fish for his attention to the terms of use agreement, which I think is an interesting thing to explore. Again, thanks to the mayor for helping to bring this issue to the fore, and his staff has devoted a lot of time to it. And again, I think that he made a very wise choice in making it clear that the taxi industry is part of the transportation industry, much as I might have liked to avoid being embroiled in this controversy. So I think this is the discussion. This has moved the discussion forward. And again, I really, really appreciate the work of the task force. I mean, normally you appoint task forces, they meet once a month for a year, maybe. And this task force met repeatedly and intensively over a short period of time. And I'm extremely grateful to them. Aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner Fish explained very nicely what we're doing here in terms of accepting a citizen group report as thank you for your report. We're not saying that we agree with anything in it, never mind all or most of it. So I do appreciate how hard the task force worked, and I also appreciated Ms. Wise's comments that there's so many questions to be answered before we move forward that we need to take the time. Yes, we can come back in 2 weeks, and that still may not be enough time to be sure that we have looked at everything. We should still be deciding whether we are going to allow this rather than how we are going to allow this, because there are people right now who rely on driving taxis for their living, for their roof over their head, their food on the table, and we need to be figuring out how we may allow this new technology and this new service to come into Portland in a manner that doesn't put people out of their homes and devastate their businesses. This process has made clear that there are some things that we need to do to look at the current taxi system, and I particularly appreciate the Commission on Disability and their proposal for the Equal Access Project, and also Broadway Cabs and others embracing of that concept. I think that that's something that we should be able to do in fairly short order too, and I would suggest that we should not move forward on the other issues. It always seems like for the issues of disability, we'll get to that in our next phase. Well, how about if we get to it as soon as possible? I do believe we should ask the risk manager to assess the city's risk in all of this in terms of insurance, and I'm glad we're going to do that. As far as insurance, we should not allow Uber or Lyft to operate until the insurance question is settled, until there is a state law, until there are mandatory coverage, and until there is a mechanism for the TNCs to require that their operators have told their insurance companies that they are driving commercially. The limits, I think we should, right now I'm moving to add to our next legislative agenda in 2017 or even the short session next year, $25,000 per incident is nothing. You pretty much spend that once you get into the emergency room. And when you're looking at a significant crash where people die, even $300,000, if there's four people who are impacted, is not going to provide you with the amount of coverage that you should have. So we need to figure that out before we say go forth and prosper on this. Basically, we need to have notification of lapses in coverage. As was pointed out, people forget to, private insurers can forget to pay their policy. I absolutely remember bursting into tears, realizing that I had not paid our policy, and because I was busy campaigning at the time, and that was pretty much a crisis. Happily, we were able to hurry up and pay that policy, but I would not want that to happen to somebody who's in a taxi cab or in a private, in a Uber or Lyft situation to find out, oops, the policy lapsed. I do think that driver permitting should stay with the city. I want the city doing the background checks. I want the city having the permit. I thought that was a great suggestion to have the sticker. We also need a mechanism to ensure that people who are driving for profit need to have a business license in the city of Portland. And there needs to be a mechanism to be absolutely sure that that happens. So I was interested that it's a very similar conversation to what we had on Airbnb, that we need to know who the drivers are, not just random checks. If we're going to make sure that everybody who's got an Airbnb license is following the policy, we need to have a mechanism. And that, to me, is you don't get to be on the app as a driver unless you have can show you have your license and you can show you have your insurance. So I'd like to see that. I do want a quote from Robert Reich, the labor secretary from President Clinton in the mid-1990s. New software technologies are allowing almost any job to be divided up into discrete tasks that can be parceled out to workers when they're needed, with pay determined by demand for that particular job at that particular moment. Customers and workers are matched online. Workers are rated on quality and reliability. The big money goes to the corporations who own the software. The scraps go to the on-demand workers. And if we're going to permit this activity, we need to make sure that if people want to drive full-time, that they're able to do that, but also that those who want to drive full-time for taxis continue to be able to do that. I do know that the task force has put in a lot of effort. In this next phase, I want some of the taxi drivers at the table. I'd like, as you suggested, the Lewis and Clark Law students at the table, others to be part of the conversation so that people don't feel they have to come to the city council in order to be able to correct misinformation. I also want to see more civil rights protections, the fines for the corporations if a driver misbehaves or indeed a passenger misbehaves. It shouldn't just be, oh, you can no longer use our platform. It should be, no, you were actually responsible in part for getting these two parties together. And if one party or another is aggrieved, there needs to be some consequence for the corporation that set that up. I'm very concerned in what Commissioner Fish termed separate but equal. As you may have noticed, I'm the one woman on the council, and I can tell you in response to, oh, you've never used Uber, I am never going to use Uber. I've been taught since I was so high that women do not get into strange cars, and I am never going to do that. So I'm going to be relying on the taxi cabs. And I don't want there to be two systems where there's one system which may dwindle because of the supply and demand, where women and people with disabilities have to wait for long periods, and where everybody else can take Uber. It was interesting, we had a little poll in my office on who was going to take Uber, and the three women who are older 50 were either hell no or probably no. The two younger women were like, oh yes, I can see the picture, and this gives me some sense of who's going to be picking me up. And so there is definitely a divide, but until I and my generation die off, we're going to need rides that are safe, secure, and who I know the company and I can complain to the corporation rather as well as to the person who's providing the ride. So thank you for this conversation. Thank you to all of you who have stayed this long, and I appreciate the task force's work. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you. I just have to say, quoting one of my other favorite Brits, we're all not dead yet, and so we're not going to die off anytime soon. First, I want to, in addition to the thanks that I've already expressed to the task force and to the Commissioner Novick's staff and to the Bureau folks and my staff who've worked hard on this issue in a short time, I want to thank Commissioner Steve Novick. I'm often called on to summarize my colleagues with a sentence or two, and what are the greatest things about each of you? And I won't run through the whole list, but I'll talk about him for a minute. And that is one of the things that I love about Steve Novick and that I cite to people all the time is that he's courageous and that he's willing to wade into a difficult issue that maybe other elected officials in other places would run away from or stick their heads in the sand about. And Steve, I appreciate that you are willing to take on a difficult, complex issue where not everyone will agree with what we're able to come up with. And thank you for that willingness to dive into this and try to make sense of it. Let me talk about three words that I want to stress just for a couple of minutes. Change, innovation, and democracy. We're in a time of great change in this city. We had a land use hearing yesterday where people were palpably worried about change in their neighborhood. We're going to have more of those because Portland is growing once again and very robustly. When I ran for office as mayor, there were two tower cranes in the city of Portland, and they were both for public works projects. Look around. That's no longer the case. And so there's a lot of change upon us, and this technological change is yet one more, that the pace and amazing change that we see all around us seems to be accelerating and proliferating, and this is one more example of that. Innovation. Portland has a history of figuring things out earlier and better than other cities, and we've been challenged again here tonight to try to equal that record. Other cities didn't know much about light rail till we built some and proved that it was great. Other cities had never heard of urban growth boundaries until we put one in place and saved our farmland. Other cities got rid of their streetcars just like we did, but we put them back first. So we're an innovator. We pride ourselves on that. And these new economy models that come with the sharing economy are an opportunity for us to be innovators once again. And I'll talk more about exactly how I think we have to do that. Democracy, one of the greatest things about today's hearing has been people who came and said, I was really worried about this issue. I wasn't sure if I would have a chance to have my say, and they were on both sides of this discussion. And I think I heard a few of our fellow citizens say, well, it looks to me like democracy is working in Portland, and I hope you all and anyone else who's paid attention to this discussion today believe that this is a chamber where people get to be heard, where the council hasn't made up its mind, where we learn things, where we carefully work on them, and we then try to do the right thing, again, in a way that may be more innovative than other places. I believe that there is a place in this issue where we can accommodate the new economy but also do so in a way that practices justice and fairness to those who have rightly invested in the system that we have today. And that's going to be difficult, and we have a lot of questions to answer and nuances to work on in order to get to that place. But I don't think that this is a zero-sum game in which we are either the last holdout against the new economy or where we surrender, as other cities have done. This is not easy, as we've heard in this discussion today, but I believe we can do this. I was very close to my father, and he told me lots of stories, which I enjoyed, and I practice telling stories too much, and I promise I won't tell too many more tonight because it is late. But he worked right after World War II as a cab driver in Washington, D.C., while he was putting himself through college on the GI Bill, and I had some great stories from him about his career as a cab driver. And so I remember that about him, but the other thing that I remember about my dad, which I think really relates to what we're doing here, is he taught me carpentry, and then I put myself through college as a construction framer, and of course what he and every other carpenter always says is measure twice and cut once. That's what we've got to do on this issue, is measure very carefully and then make it right the right way. I believe we can do that. I appreciate everyone's engagement in this discussion so far. There's obviously more to come starting 2 weeks from today when we gather back in this room with some answers to the questions that have been brought up today. Thank you all for an excellent hearing. And we are adjourned.